Edge of Sports Radio returns. Here's Dave Zirin.
Boom! We're back. We have a, you know, it's so great because it's our Thanksgiving show, not our Halloween show, as Coach said in the last segment.
You said.
Oh, yeah, my bad. and we have on the line from NBA.com, from the Hangtime Podcast, the man himself, one of the great basketball minds in these here United States, Sekou Smith. Sekou, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Dave. Good to hear your voice after seeing you on TV this morning. It's rough now, waking up to your face my leftover Thanksgiving meal. Now, that's kind of tough.
Yeah, that is tough. I don't recommend my face as a hangover cure. But, Sekou, man, happy Thanksgiving. How was your you in Atlanta right now? Where are you?
We had a good Thanksgiving yesterday. Family's in town. Kids playing Turkey Bowl football today out here in our field. So it's great. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. Gosh, Atlanta, one of the great sports towns in the United States. Oh, no, wait, it's Thanksgiving, not opposite day. My bad. But Sekou, let me ask you this question just to kick it off here. NBA season, it's only been about 10 games, but it already feels like we've had a season worth of drama and a season worth of surprises. What team to you has exceeded your expectations the most from preseason, and what team is the most disappointing to you?
Well, I don't think there's any question. The team that's gone above and beyond what I thought they were capable of so far has been the Charlotte Bobcats.
Boom.
You'd have told me they were going to have a winning record after 10 games. If they'd have already won, you know, 5-6 games the way they have, I'd have laughed in your face. I mean, it took them until March last year to win 5 games in a record-settingly awful season. So for them to come out this year and to take care of business the way they have with a new coach and Mike Dunlap has been pretty staggering. On the flip side, I don't think there's any doubt that the Indiana Pacers have been a colossal disappointment compared to what I was expecting them to be like coming off the season they had. I thought that was kind of shocking that they would come out and play as flat as they had, but they don't have Danny Granger, and I think that's been a huge problem for them so far.
Yeah, it's exposed them to not have that scorer on the wing. Roy Hibbert, though, the other night, the hardcore big man triple-double, points, rebounds, and block shots. You got to feel good about Roy Hibbert, though.
Well, you feel good about Roy Hibbert, and then also Paul George coming into his own.
Yeah.
You know, with expanding his shooting range, and just they needed to have somebody step up and play above their pay grade. And I think Paul George is the best option to do that for them now and going forward.
Mm. Now, what about players? What player has the most exceeded where you thought they would be before the season began, and what player has actually really disappointed you with a slow start?
Yeah, well, that's a tougher one. I mean, I think, you know, you look early in the season and some guys will be playing well, and you know, some guys won't have kicked it into high gear just yet. But really, Jrue Holiday, to me, has been a real find for the Philadelphia 76ers. I think, you know, 18 points, eight and a half rebounds, or 8.5 assists, excuse me, for a guy who really was expected to live and die in the pick and roll with Andrew Bynum this year. Well, no Andrew Bynum. He's off playing Frederick Douglass at the stage play of, you know, 1860-something.
And, ouch.
And, you know, for Holiday to go out and do it.
You're just cracking on his hair?
His hair, you know, his bowling game, everything, mate.
Did Frederick Douglass have a good bowling
right
game?
Yeah,
I didn't know Frederick Douglass rolled.
but no, I mean, I think Holiday has been, a revelation in a lot of ways. He's a really good defensive player. He's still a young guy, just coming into his own, and, you know, in his third season, 3 years into the league, you don't know what to expect from a young guy like that when he comes in the league as a teenager, but certainly showing some signs. The disappointing player, if it's a guy in Houston, and I thought this last year when all the hype was going on about Jeremy Lin, he's not going to be Lin Sanity. He's not that guy. I don't think he's going to be that guy on a consistent basis. And it's probably tough to swallow for a lot of people who were invested in that story. But that's just really tough to live up to what he did for a 3-week stretch over the course of a season or career, when we all know that's not what your profile says you are.
And let's go to the team that lost Lin Sanity, the New York Knicks. How surprised are you to see Carmelo Anthony share the ball, to see a culture change brought on by a bunch of late 30, early 40-somethings. I mean, this is the oldest team in NBA history. They have a rookie who's 36, for goodness sakes. Only the Knicks would have a 36-year-old rookie. I mean, do you think, I mean, based on what you hear about their physical fitness, about the Knicks training staff, can these guys stay healthy through a whole season, and can they challenge Miami?
I don't know if they have to stay healthy so much. I think they have to stay loose enough where Mike Woodson won't be afraid to insert different guys into that lineup. Because when you're as old as they are, when you got a, you know, Golden Girl squad, you have to mix and match and play different. You know, you're going to have your rotation be pretty fluid all season long. You know, Rasheed Wallace won't be in shape for another month.
No.
You know, they got the gray beard of the league running around on their roster. So if Jason Kidd keeps rocking the crooked headband, I think they'll have a chance to, you know, to do whatever they can do as long as Carmelo stays focused and locked in on both ends of the floor. But that's crucial. He's leading by example. And I think Mike Woodson put him in a position to be that kind of leader. I think Mike Woodson's name has to be mentioned in that coach of the year, early 10-game coach of the year debate. A conversation, but they're going to live and die basically with what Carmelo Anthony does for them this season.
Coach, you have a question for Sekou.
Two questions, Ashley Sekou. Talk to me a little bit about Chicago. What's going on over there? And then I'm watching the league, and to me it just seems like it's a big gap between the haves and the have-nots. You got your Miami, the Knicks, Memphis, a few of those teams. But then the bottom feeders, I have no excitement for, you know, Sacramento and Golden State. I don't feel it. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I mean, those teams early in the year, you know, 10, 11 games this season, you look at the records and who's won and who they've beaten. Golden State, Sacramento, they have quality wins on their ledger. Yeah, I mean, they really do. Now, do they excite you long term and get you thinking this is a chance for them to turn a corner and maybe be playoff teams? You know, maybe not, but, you know, my thing about the early part of the season is you don't look for a definitive sign about somebody right now. You know, the Knicks are playing fantastic. They're playing, you know, at their ceiling, basically. We all know they're not going to keep that up over the course of 82 games. What you really want to see is signs of potential. You need to see that a team has a chance to grow and play at a higher level than they're playing at right now. To me, a team like Denver, it will be easy to get discouraged if you look at them and you're a Nuggets fan and you see them struggling early in the year. That doesn't bother me at all because you know that they have a ceiling. They have room to grow and get better. And I think there's a very real chance that they become a factor in the Western Conference playoff race, even if they don't look like that kind of team right now.
So we're all Washington Wizards fans here. Don't laugh.
That's
not a cue for you.
Oh,
it was more just upset. Like, why would you do that? Is it within the realm of human possibility for the Wizards to win 5 games or less this year?
That's not fair.
It's a real question. Come on. That's a real question.
You have to figure they will fall into at least 7 or 8 wins over the course of the next
so depressing,
5 or 6 months. You know what I mean?
Like, I just asked if they would win 5, and Sekou Smith himself just said, no, they could win 7. That's such a depressing conversation.
You know what I mean? They got to have a chance to stumble in, accident their way into some wins over the course of the year. But I'm going to tell you this right here. These people who are trying to convince you that, you know, there's a turnaround coming or that this guy or that guy is the answer to whatever the issues are, the man or the people in charge of the resurgence in Washington are not employed by the Wizards right now.
Right.
And I mean that in terms of the players, the front office, and everybody else. They have a huge mountain to climb in terms of getting back to respectability. I watched them here the other night in Atlanta.
Yes, I
almost
watched
knocked
that
off
too.
A Hawks team that was, you know, toying around with them because everybody right now is scared to be the team that loses to the Wizards. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be the team that lets them off the hook. So they're going to get somebody. But it's when you go into an arena every night knowing that you don't have the tools to be the dominant team on that court, that's a tough psychological hurdle to get over. It's extremely difficult when you know that you're behind the eight ball every time you go into that gym.
Man, so do you agree with me that Kevin Serafin, you saw him live? I'm not even joking around. I really want to ask him this question because I watched that game super up close. I think Kevin Serafin is the best big man in the NBA, not named Anthony Davis, who's 22 years or younger. Am I crazy? Have I been drinking too much lighter fluid, or do you think with my turkey, or do you like what you see in Kevin Seraphin scoring about 11 a game, shooting 55% from the floor?
Listen, I like what I saw to him in London. I watched him in the Olympics, and he looked, and you know how it is. You see somebody in an international competition, you go, man, why did this guy do this in the NBA? And then you remember, well, he doesn't play that role on the
plays NBA for the Wizards.
Anymore. He doesn't have that time. You know, he didn't get those kind of minutes in the NBA. Seraphin, with a big body like his, with his skill set, there's no excuse for him to be more of a factor in the NBA or anywhere else. I like him. I don't like where he plays in terms of, I don't like his role on that Wizards team. To me, he's a lot like a bunch of other players in the league that if he was to play somewhere else in a different environment, you know, who knows what you might get out of him. There might be a much higher ceiling for him elsewhere than there is for him in Washington.
If you had a choice, I mean, you've been a working NBA reporter, blogger, radio man for years. If you had a choice, and I know you love your work, but if you had a choice between having to be the beat reporter for the Wizards or finding a different job, possibly in the sanitation field, what would you choose?
Michael Lee, who's a great friend of mine, covers the Wizards for the Washington Post. And, you know, when you get
is he asking you
guy,
about jobs in Atlanta?
Yeah. When you get a text from a guy and he says, there's no chance you're going to bother coming to watch the Wizards tonight, is there? I mean, you know, even the man who gets paid to watch him knows how painful it is for other people to have to watch him. But,
man.
Hey, listen, in Washington, I would argue that that's not the seediest job you could have coming to Washington Wizards. There are other positions
true.
That make you go a little bit lower than that. For Michael Lee, who's one of the best in the business, if you can find a way to make an awful team like the Wizards worth a read every day, it certainly shows what kind of reporter and writer you are, and I think he's done that.
And you could be the bikini waxer for the Republican House of Representatives. So that would be a terrible job. Get up close and personal with John Boehner. Hey, yo, Sekou, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving, Sekou. Love having you on the show.
Always, Dave. Hey, man, have a happy holiday season, guys.
Same
awesome.
To you.
Awesome. Sekou Smith, right. There is only one. We got to go to break right now. We'll be back right after this
one
with Richard Kent.
Don't.
One.
Move. Dave Zirin will be right back with more Edge of Sports Radio.